So they have to go back on the street. So those kids are young, 6 years old, 7 years old, 9 years old, and in all ages. So Michael realized this is not a good idea. Now these kids are so attached to us, and it's a kind of home for them. And then at the end of the day, to go back on the street, and then the younger you are, the more you get the advantage of on the street. So Michael said, well, I wanted to do something more. I want those kids to have a permanent home where they can be with us, where they can go to school and then live with us, the normal life that we lived here. So the brothers, the lead brother, said, well, I don't think it wasn't a good idea. So they sent Michael to California in a retreat. So when Michael got in the retreat, so for Michael to take what his mission is. So Michael was in the retreat, and then there was a priest from Russia was leading the retreat. And Michael said to the priest, well, my dream is to open a home for street kids in Haiti. And I've been working in Haiti before. And then, what do you think? So the priest said to Michael, how old are you, Michael? And that time Michael was 32 to 33 years old. Well, the priest said to Michael, you remember what happened to Jesus when he was your age? So Michael, who are Catholic, he know exactly what happened to Jesus. He said, I went when Jesus was like, but spat upon, called name, and all this. And then the priest said to Michael, this is not what I meant. What I meant is, when Jesus, when your age was your age, that's when he started to live his resurrected life. Michael said, oh. And then the priest said to Michael, are you think you ready to do this kind of work? Michael said, yes, I think I'm ready. So the priest was there to lead the seminar, but he's not the boss. It's not Michael's boss. Well, Michael keep brought the idea. They said, well, Michael, if you want to do this, maybe you need to leave us and then do it on your own. At that time, the brothers were Michael's family, and Michael left his parents in Iowa. So the brothers was Michael's family, and then we knew that over. So you're only allowed to carry three shirts and two pants. And you're not allowed to carry big cash with you. And if you go out to do the work for the mission, they give you exact amount of money you need for the bus fare. So when Mother Teresa, when he found this, the brothers, over, how to live simple, and then how to open your heart and then helping the poor. So when Michael got kicked out in California, so Michael had no place to live. So Michael, while he used to live in California, Michael used to lead the prayer service for the homeless people in California. And he would go to the homeless shelter and then work with those people in this area. So when Michael got kicked out, who welcoming Michael in? The poor. Took Michael in, and then they really feel that what Michael wanted to do. So Michael called his parent in Iowa, said, I'm on the street. He said, well, Michael, you choose to do this. You welcome back home. Michael said, no, I'm not going back home. My destination is to go to Haiti. So Michael's parents sent him some money, and then other friends put together. And then Michael have enough money to buy a plane ticket and then have $1,000 left. And Michael took off. So when Michael got in Haiti, and then the Mother Teresa, the sisters took Michael in and then find a place for Michael. And then Michael was looking for a place to stop the home. Well, when Michael went back to Haiti, a lot of kids on the street already knew Michael. So Michael went back and said to them, well, I am back, so I wanted to open a home for you guys. But Michael's idea is, well, I need to start small. So Michael found a 2 bedrooms by a cardboard factory hidden, and nobody you expect there is a home there. So where Michael got five kids and started the home. Started the home with nothing. But Michael had faith and he said, God will provide. But Michael have to do something. Michael have to do something to make sure those kids get fed every day. So Michael went back to the Mother Teresa. Michael learned that Mother Teresa, the sisters have a program for the people in Cité Soleil where they learn how to make banana greeting cards, and then Michael will go there and then all the kids will learn how to make this and banana greeting cards. So when Michael sell this banana greeting cards, so the proceeds go and help and then get the food and get some little cooking utensils and where Michael has something to make sure these children have something in their stomach. So one day, Michael's parent heard Michael's doing this work, and Michael's parent have no idea where Michael is. And there was two journalists, Senator and Iowa, and they were ready to go to Haiti. And then Michael's parents said, well, my son has just started an orphanage in Haiti, and then I had no idea where he is. Please, if you can find him, that would be great. And the two journalists, they find Michael, hidden by a cardboard factory. So when they knocked on the door, none of them was expected to have any visitors. And two journalists knocked on the door. And then they said to Michael, we heard you're doing a good work. But your mother told us you're somewhere. We found you. We found you. So Michael welcomed them, and then first thing they did, they handed them a glass of cold water. Because for them, it's Jesus. Jesus come. Jesus come and see there's something good happening. And Jesus go. And I have to see this. So we welcome them with flowers and give them a glass of cold water. And we sing some songs for them. Like, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice, let us rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in me. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Well, we sing that song every time we have guests come to our home. St. Joseph's Home for Boys started to grow because of two journalists. They went back to the United States and then they shared the good news. And then people were so touched. And then we started to have some secrets. So Michael, he's so gifted, and he have all these ideas. And he said, well, we need to find a way to keep generating the income. So we have to do something instead of waiting for the support to come to the United States. We have to do something to make sure we do something and besides of depending on people all the time. So Michael lived from the two-bedroom house, and then he went another home, and then in where they had more kids come in, and then Michael said, well, we had two journalists knocking on our door on the first day. I think we need to start a guest house. And Michael started the guest house. And then when we have guests, friends coming down, and they stay with us, they eat with us, they play with us, they live the normal life that we live. And in that way, the money they pay, that helped to providing food and in helping the wages for all the employees that work with the kids. And then guess who the first guest was? Lucy in the back. She was the first guest. So, St. Joseph's, home for boys, when St. Joseph started, the idea not to have an orphanage, but how to have a family. So in Haiti, the concept of orphanage, it's really hard. So if you are an orphan and you live in an orphanage, you get put down and all the bad things related to you. So Michael already have done a study on that. He said, well, we're not going to have an orphanage, but the idea is to have a family. So where kids came from a different part of Haiti, and then when they come to St. Joseph's, we come as a family. So a lot of our kids, when they came to us, guess how they came? Head down. Because they've been putting down, misunderstood, called name, they are no good. Sometimes they even call them garbage. And then sometimes the police forced to move them other places. People don't want to deal with them. Well, when they came to us, we said to them, you are good. You are valuable. And then you have a lot to offer in this community. And we're going to work with you. We always come up with different ideas how to take away of the shame, where we want them to be more proud of themselves. Michael realized that, you know, by going on the street, those boys who used to live on the street, they are so talented. They do all kinds of different tricks and then they do earn some living. So Michael realized, well, we have to come up with something that where those kids will be in the ambiance. And we came up with the dance theater. We send them to a dance school, and then where they're interacting with other kids, and then we said, well, now, how we can have our own dance company? So we couple with those kids into dancing and art, and then later on, when they started performing for people, guests who come and live at St. Joseph's, volunteers. And then every time we do the show for them, they always clap. And then the kids said, oh, I'm not that bad. People see good in me. And then now they started to look people straight in the eyes. So the whole thing about St. Joseph's is how we can work with these children and then make them proud and then where they can become good leaders, and in where they can give back to their own community. Renee will be sharing more on that.
He didn't introduce himself. His name is Bill Nathan, and he's the director of St. Joseph's Home for Boys. He grew up at St. Joseph's Home for Boys, and he had the opportunity to hear his story, his personal story, which is really compelling, later in the week, so look for that on the schedule. My name is Renee Dietrich, and I am the communications and development person for the St. Joseph family. Basically means I beg for money and then I thank people for it. But I also happen to live at our second of three homes. We have three homes. The second of three homes is called Wings of Hope. And Wings of Hope is a home for physically and mentally challenged children and young adults, which grew out of St. Joseph's. When Michael founded St. Joseph's about 5 years in, it was very bad political times, and there was a group from France who had an orphanage for 14 handicapped children. And they wanted to go back to France because the political situation wasn't all that good at the time. And they tried for a year to find somebody to take over their work. And they couldn't find anybody that was willing to do it. And so kind of their last ditch effort was to send out a letter to all the children's homes that they knew about and ask them to take one child apiece. That letter came to St. Joseph's and Michael's ideas of inclusion and lifting kids up. He thought, well, there was always maybe a boy who was blind or a boy who was deaf at St. Joseph's, but he wanted to go a step further because in Haiti, children with disabilities are seen as manifestations of evil spirits. More than the 35 to 40 kids that we have, but we want to inspire people to be able to do that in other areas of Haiti because there's a lot more kids than 40 kids out there that deserve the treatment that they're getting at Wings of Hope. So I'm going to have Bill come back up, talk about our third house, which is Trinity, which is another house for street boys and former Restivics, just like St. Joe's. It has a little different philosophies and a little different activities, and that's in Jacques Mill.
As you can see, like St. Joseph's grew from one to three homes. We were so fortunate that to have Trinity House, because when the earthquake happened in Haiti, Wings of Hope went down, St. Joseph went down, but Trinity House was the only one remained standing. And if we didn't have Trinity House, we didn't have no clue where we'll be sending our kids from St. Joseph's. So most of our kids right now, they're in Trinity House. Let me share with you how Trinity House gets started. As I mentioned earlier, St. Joseph's Home for Boys is a home where they take the young boys in and where they get them trained and to become leaders, and where they go out in the community and make a difference. So there's a young kid named Melshi. Melshi came to us when he was 15 years old. So Melshi's parents get killed when the Duvalier regime was there. So the Tonton Macoute was the secret police that was worked for Duvalier. And then he went to Melshi's parent house and killed his father and killed his mother. And then Melshi left on the street alone with his little brother, and they had nowhere else to go. And then families took them in and give them a place to stay. But the families themselves, they're struggling, so they cannot take care of them for forever. So they told him that, well, you guys have to move pretty soon because I don't have enough support to keep supporting you. So they heard there's a guy that involved in a NGO, like an organization in Haiti. And then they went and talked to the guy, and the guy took them in. And then the guy gave them a place in his office. So in where the guy gave them some money where they can get some food every day. So somehow the guy heard about St. Joseph's and then took Melshi to St. Joseph's. That's when Melshi got an education, and then he grew up and become a good leader. And then when he turned 21 years old, this is the age that our kids graduate. Some orphanage in Haiti, when they're 17, 18, they kick them out. But those kids, they don't have a skill, and then a lot of them, they've never been to school. And then if you have an education in Haiti, it's hard to make a living, and you don't have an education, that's even worse. So in our homes, we want to make sure that when those kids graduate, we provide them with a job where they can keep supporting themselves. So when Melshi turned 21, Melshi see the good work that Michael been doing for so many years. And then Melshi said to Michael, well, I'll be graduating pretty soon, but I want to do the same kind of work that you are doing. And Michael said, okay, Melshi, but we need to find funding for that. It's the same thing with Wings of Hope. So Michael said to Melshi, we'll find a way to make that happen. Michael got a phone call from a lady in the West Coast, Jamel. Called Michael, said, Michael, do you have any plans of opening a home for street children in Jamel? And Michael said to Meshi, do you have any contacts in Jamel? Did you already contact someone? Meshi said, no, I don't even know what Jamel is. So, well, how did the lady know that you want to do this? So, Michael said to Meshi, okay, we're gonna do this. And then Michael went and talked to the lady and see the ground, the place and everything, and see the needs of, and was gonna see what the needs are, and see a lot of kids needed a home. So Meshi went there and started the home. We went a place and we took a few kids and we started the home. So we've been having a lot of good friends who've been coming down to St. Joseph's, and then they so amazed, and then how young kids who used to live on the street, and then now wanted to make a difference. They said, why not helping them? So they supported us, and then where they give us some money, we bought a piece of property. And then the money that we've been receiving, the mail, the English. So at St. Joseph's, we live week after week. So Meshi started the home, and then with the money that we received, and we built a home where we have probably 35 kids comes in. Meshi started with 4 kids, and then we ended up having 35. So the idea of, we know the needs, it's huge. There's a lot of kids in Haiti needed a home. But we want the quality. We want the best for our kids. So we don't want to have a home where we have 200 kids and have no control at all. We want individual intention. We want those kids to grow up to become leaders and make a difference. We not believe in quantity. We believe in quality. And then that's the reason why we have those two homes. And not only that, another kid who grew up at St. Joseph's named Francique, when he turned 21, we sent him there to work, become an employee, work at Trinity House. On the daytime, we saw a bunch of kids on the street playing, mostly little girls. He said, well, we've been involving little boys a lot, but we need to do something for the little boys, little girls. And he said to Michael, I want to start a school for those girls. You know what he did? He went on the street and grabbed some and then took them to Trinity House and then helped put a chalkboard on the wall and started to teach them how to write. And guess what? Right now we have a school for 120 kids. And then those kids never been to school before. And when they came to the school, they don't want to go back home. And a lot of them, and we not only have the school in the morning, but we realized that those kids, they're not fed at home. We said, well, we need to find a way to provide a meal for them. And right now we give them breakfast, and then we give them a lunch. And during the lunchtime, you will see them have a plastic bag and put some food inside. We said, why are you doing this for me? And they said, this is for mom. Mom have nothing to eat at home. I said, Trinity House, we have a lot going on. And I think Rene have more to share on that.
So besides feeding the kids and educating the kids, and next year we're taking in 40 more kids, so we'll be up to about 140 next year there with two sessions, a morning session and afternoon session. What we discovered when we learned their biographies, learned their histories, that their parents were all unemployed. They didn't have any jobs. And so rather than just giving them fish, we wanted to teach them to fish. So we started to partner with a micro-lending bank called Francoise in Haiti. And about half of the mothers right now of the children in the call center participate in a micro-lending program with Fonclose. So our goal is to get them independent. These micro-lending, they're starting their own little businesses. And so they're being able to support their families a little bit better because they're involved in this. So we're very much into community outreach. And we're also, we have had so many kids go through our program, there's no way we can employ everybody when they turn 21. So we want them to learn skills that they're able to support themselves. One way that we do that is through the arts. We have a lot of artists that have graduated from us. Wallace will talk about that when he talks about the art center. But we also need other ways for them to support themselves. And so we're starting a commercial bakery and a coffee business in Jacmel to train our kids and to train the community in how to do businesses like that. And that's just starting to get off the ground. We just started baking bread about 6 months ago, I think, and started to get contracts with hotels and businesses in Jacmel, so that's very exciting. We've been producing our coffee called St. Joe's Java on a really small scale in Haiti, and now we're consulting with some people to kind of bump it up to the next level and for wider distribution in the United States, so that should be coming your way. You're into coffee. It's very good. I don't drink coffee, but I've been told it's very good. We have a lot of requests for it. And before I turn this over to Wallace to talk about the arts and both dancing and fine arts, I just want to say that the St. Joseph family is much like Holden, and we are a community and we are a family, and if you've ever entered one of our homes, you are a part of our family. So I just want to recognize those of you who have been to one of our homes. Could you please stand up? Because you are a part of our family. Louis, you've been to our house, haven't you? So we are the St. Joseph family. They are also the St. Joseph family. And by your being here, your presence tonight, you are also the St. Joseph family, because again, God sent you here as angels to tell us that we are supported and we are loved. So I want to turn it over now to our resident artist, Mr. Kungus, who's also, if you took his dance class today, you know he's an amazing dancer. He's also an amazing painter and jewelry maker and everything else, our Renaissance man.
Well, my name is Wallace Kungus, and I was taken to St. Joseph Boys Home when I was 6, and I grew up there. I am now 25 years old. I am actually a Bill's assistant. He tells me what to do. So at St. Joseph Home for Boys, we are very fortunate to come up with a community art center. Well, the way I see it, in Haiti, there are so many people, speaking of scholars, you know, after school, they basically don't do anything but sitting around and play cards or dominoes. Sometimes, you know, they are playing soccer or do any other fun stuff. But I think the idea of having the community art center available to those people, it's something that is very good, you know. It's something that they can come and learn different things, such as, for example, Michael, he hired a well-known Haitian artist. His name is Ralph Ellen. So he comes and teach watercolor class. It is something that is very good. And a lot of our boys, they are very interested into watercolor, especially myself. I like it very much. It's my favorite medium, and I try my best to be good at it. I can see myself now as, I'm not gonna say as an accomplished artist, but you know, I think I can manage. it is something that is very productive, you know, to the Haitian society, and I like the fact that it's open to the community. They can come and learn different things, such as jewelry making. After the earthquake, I started making jewelry because our home got destroyed and I didn't have the space anymore to paint because we are now in the process of rebuilding our home and there's so many dust, you know, coming just from the construction work. And so I was like, I gotta find something else to do. So I come up with a jewelry making project. I mean, it's been going pretty good. And I've been using, you know, trash, things like coconut shell, things that people take for granted, you know, stuff like bottle caps, turn them into something of beauty. Now I have like 7 people working for me now. They are like full-time employees. They come every day. Even on Sunday, you know, they come, which is not even required. So I bet they really like what they are doing. So art in general, it's something, I would say it's a way of lifting us up. You know, art is very important in our lives, and especially in Haiti. I mean, it's like, this is what we got, you know? This is how we can show to other people that Haiti is beautiful. And if you go to Haiti, you look around, you know, beautiful landscaping. And, I mean, Haiti is beautiful. Even though there are some terrible things happening over there, and, you know, devastation with the earthquake, stuff like that. I mean, of course, all around the world, you know, crazy things happen. But, you know, Haiti is beautiful, and we are trying the best that we can. With the boys, we are training them to become leaders, like Bill mentioned. So, you know, we are empowering them so they can empower others. So this is what St. Joseph is all about. And like I said earlier, we are in the process of rebuilding our homes, and I'm just looking forward for a better St. Joseph, you know, and a better everything, I would say. And I know that we might not be able to bring in more kids to our home, but it's better, it's always better to stay small so we can focus on the boys, I mean, focus on their education and looking for a better future for them. I think right now we have a little time for questions. Oh, the resurrection tent. Well, the resurrection dance theater, it was started right after the home got started. Because when Michael used to go on the streets, you know, he often see that the boys, they used to do tricks on the streets, stuff like that, and he noticed that they have talent and they can do good things. So he was like, well, how about if we put together, you know, a little dance company at the home and call it, we were looking for names for it. Then, you know, we come up with the Resurrection Dance Theater of Haiti. So it's been going over the years, and I am now the dance instructor and choreographer for it. And we happen to travel all over the United States and Canada trying to raise funds to so we can continue with our projects in Haiti. Since the earthquake, the sad thing is, since the earthquake, I haven't been able to teach dance, which is really sad. I miss teaching, you know. And I feel very grateful for the fact that today I had the opportunity to teach a lot of people showed up, that was good. So, I really miss teaching dance. The Resurrection Dance Troupe, it's a way for the boys to see themselves as, you know, valuable, I would say. Just to be on the stage and entertaining other people, to see them clapping and, you know, I think think it's a really awesome thing. And they see themselves now as professional. I mean, they really are professionals. You know, Resurrection had performed at BAM, Brooklyn Academy of Music. We performed at the Chicago Theater. 2002, I think we were in Canada for the World Youth Day. We performed in front of the Pope John Paul II, which was huge. And I think, well, I mean, we have great opportunities. So I really feel grateful for my life and the fact that God is using me and my talent to give back to all my brothers in Haiti. And I'm just looking forward to continue the good work I'm doing. And I think that's it.
Are you unable to teach because the space was destroyed?
Yeah, we don't have the space anymore. This is the issue. But, you know, St. Joseph is being rebuilt, and we are thinking about having a professional dance studio, a professional dance
theater.
I think it's going to be good. I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah.
Did you receive your education at the home?
Yes, I did.
You went to outside school, though.
Right. I mean, the school is not at St. Joseph. We go to outside school, which is not that far away from the home.
But the reason they're educated outside the home is that to give them a sense of community. So they're not, most orphanages in Haiti, you're inside those walls for your entire life and you don't have a sense of community. And so our kids go to outside school, so they develop that. They belong to churches if they want to. They are, besides the worship that goes on in our houses, sports teams, all that stuff, to get that sense of community that supports them when they need.
Can't help but notice your language skills too. I think they're both excellent in the English language, which I assume is not your native tongue.
Well, thank you. We're trying.
And did you also learn that at the?
I learned it from the visitors that comes in and out at the house. I just picked it up. And let me tell you this, when I first moved to St. Joseph, and I used to be around the visitors a lot, and sometimes, you know, when I hear them speaking in English, I would just go ahead and sit right in front of their face, you know, and be like, sometimes I would, you know, tease them and like, blah, 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 but over the years, I know, you know. I learned not to do that, and you know, as a young boy, you know, it was fun, you know, to do this thing.
Yeah. Well, when do you project that St. Joseph's will be rebuilt? Do you have kind of a timeline?
Well, the first part of the building, I think the architect mentioned that it should be completed by Christmas.
They're building St. Joseph's are building in three phases, and the first phase is the dormitory for the boys, which sits in the footprint of the old St. Joseph's. Okay. And that's the one that should be done by the end of the year.
Yeah. So the boys are very excited.
And then we need to raise the money to do the other phase.
Well, what about Wings of Hope? When is?
We just started 3 days ago on construction at Wings of Hope, and they said we're doing that in phases also. Mainly to get out of our rental facilities, which we're in right now, that aren't handicap accessible. They're two rental private homes. And we want to build that in phases too. So it'll probably be at least 18 months for the first phase on that.
So are you able to get building supplies?
Yeah, it's really expensive though, because everything's imported. Yeah. So that raises the cost quite considerably. Labor is relatively inexpensive because it's so available, but the building materials are very expensive, and the architect that we're using for both projects is a Haitian architect, very well respected, very in big demand now. He's probably, I would guess, in his early 60s, do you think? And none of the buildings he's built in his entire career came down in the earthquake.
All right.
Or were damaged severely, damaged enough that they needed to come down. And then he's started a new company since the earthquake and employed a lot more people with expertise, including seismology experts. But he was a, Bill mentioned that Ralph Allen teaches art as an artist. This is Ralph Allen's brother. Oh. And so he knew us, we knew him before the earthquake, so he's also a friend and he understands our spirit. So we're working very well with him, so we're very excited about that.
Show us where you're at.
Well, our third home is in Jackmel. There, we are. Saint Joseph is in Port-au-Prince, and Wayne's a boat back. I'm too short.
I hear you, Alice.
All right. Any other question?
Oh, at Trinity, now you took girls into the school, but did they stay at Trinity as well? That's just Trinity and St. Joseph's, that's just for boys, but the girls are allowed to go to
school. It's a day school. It's like a school like any other school in Haiti.
Oh, they don't stay there. It's not a home.
Oh. They go home and live with their families. Okay. It's just that these kids were so poor they would otherwise not go to school.
Oh.
And so we started a day school.
Well, Ms. Fenn, your comment? I'd just like to say that the St. Joseph's community has not only changed the lives of the kids who have been part of that community, but of the guests who have come to stay at St. Joseph's. My family has been visiting there for about the last 10 years, and it was because of the hospitality of the St. Joseph's family that we fell in love with Haiti, and we fell in love with the people of Haiti. And that love led us to adopt our son Louis, whose middle name is Joseph, named after the St. Joseph's family. The hospitality and the acceptance and the love that we felt from that community has changed our life and has changed Louis's life and led me into ministry and changed the whole trajectory of our family and our family's life. And it comes from our connection with this community. So people who go there as guests can't help but be changed by what that community is as well.
I just like to say, and I've done this every time we've told the story of St. Joseph since the earthquake, that the one tragedy we do have is that we lost Ben in one of our homes. He died at St. Joseph's. And so Ben will always be a part of us, and the Larson family will always be a part of us, and we thank them so much for inviting us to be a part of them. Because they will always be with us. And Ben is mentioned every time we tell the story.
Any other questions?
Could I ask what kind of businesses you said the microloans are going out to? What kind of businesses are these families starting?
Haiti, they're called petits marchands, which is, means you go and buy a little bit of something and you sell it to somebody else.
I see. Okay.
So that's kind of, well, most of them are petits marchands. A couple of them are seamstresses, but most of them are petits marchands. April.
Yeah, I've just seen pictures, of course, but the. And I don't even know if it's the right name for it, but that beautiful theater, which I know our son died on, but it was just seemed to me to be beautiful. Is that anything like that being?
There will be a new theater at the.
And was that house? Was it called Resurrection Dance Theater?
It was just kind of called the theater floor. We were using it for theater. People hung out there, but we're actually going to have an actual theater with an actual stage and all that now.
And you didn't say anything about that tree, but I heard about
tree.
Jonathan that kind of held the building and the
tree saved Bill's life.
Well, we had a big tree alongside the house. So where none of us never paid attention to the tree. Never. We ignored the tree. But when the earthquake happened in Haiti, and then so the tree on that day saved my life a second time. Because when I fell from the 7-story building, 75 to 80 feet, and then somehow God spoke to me, said, Bill, open your eyes. When I opened my eyes, all I can see is I was in a mud of dusk. I couldn't see anything. And so
somehow I saw a clear spot, and I saw some branches, and I see all the roof, the rest of the roof coming down on me. And then the tree was big enough, and the tree trunk held all the concrete roof. And then if the tree wasn't there, and there was no way I'll be able to make it. No. So right now, well, before then we didn't want to cut the tree, because we see the tree as a tree of life. We don't want to cut it off. But the engineer, the architect said, well, he won't be good for the foundation. We said, oh, we wanted to keep the tree. So I said, well, you have to cut it up. You have to cut it down. And then Michael and others, we said, well, we need to make a use of the tree. We don't want to just cut it down and then throw it away. So we call a woodcarver. And the woodcarver came to St. Joseph's, and he carved a statue of Michael the Archangel. And then also, with the left of the tree trunk he had, and then he made a statue of me playing the drum.
They're gorgeous. They're absolutely gorgeous.
So I haven't seen them in person. I saw pictures.
The Michael the Archangel one is about as tall as Bill.
Oh, yeah. Very
it's huge.
And then I can't wait to see them in person. But it's amazing. The different skills in Haiti, like a lot of our Haitians have. And then you can just go in a big tree trunk, and then something come out of it. It's unbelievable. And then this guy came in the site, and then just, and I said, you know, I want to see how this will be turned out. And then they just look at, and the next thing I got in the email, and this beautiful statue. I said, it's amazing. It is amazing. So Haiti, even Haiti is a poor country, but we have a good spirit. We have a good spirit. Even we had the earthquake, and then people were praying, celebrating, and comforting each other. Even I was out of it. I didn't remember anything. But the next day, I came here some singing. And then in the U.S., the media sometimes show the, you know, all the negative things.
Yep.
But I really admired. I know the U.S. government said, well, don't go to Haiti. But I admired everyone that they don't listen to the media. They go. And I said, it's better to go and then you see what it's all about. So I invited you all. For some of you who have been who haven't been down there, our arms are wide open. Even though we haven't finished with our construction, we have a spot for you. We have a place for you where you can sleep. So don't worry. You want to go down there? So we are welcoming you so to live our lives. So by coming here to Golden Village, I was amazed. They use a bell. They use a bell, and at St. Joseph's, we use a bell since the beginning, 1985. We use a bell as a sign of communication. So when we have guests coming, and we ring the bell, and then I love it. So when everybody come out, and when the bus pull, and everybody start to clap, and then we ring the bell, and you see all of our kids are standing, we have people coming. And then where we sing, and we're welcoming them. And I said, this is the same experience here. I said, I feel right at home. Right at home. And I said, I can't wait when I go back to Haiti to share that. To share that. So at St. Joseph, we got up at 5 o'clock a.m. And the first thing we do, we go up in the chapel, we do the morning prayer. Because prayer is very important in our lives. And then at 5 p.m., and I ring the bell, and then we end the day with prayer. And then guess what? All of our kids go to a Lutheran school. Yes.
Winnie, I know where you can send your a couple of boys to learn how to create labels in coffee.
Oh, great.
I have this tremendous project that I've been a part of in the southeast chopped area, not too far from Jack Rabbit.
Okay.
Which now is a $2 million operation. Started from scratch.
Great.
So that's something
you
I didn't know that you were doing.
All right.
Something that you can organize and send a couple of boys to learn how does that work.
Sounds great. See that, and that's what another good thing about Holden is. We know Louis, but he didn't know about our coffee project. We didn't know about that until today. So great connections.
So if people come to visit, you put them to work.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You can do construction or you can play with kids.
You know, and or you can go to trading house and teach in our school. There's a lot of things to do. And you, for those who have skill and then how to bake bread, calm down. Calm down. We would love to have it.
I didn't bring any business cards with me tonight, but if you see me around the village, I'll try to have some in my pocket in the next few days. So it has all our contact information about how to come down and stay with us and work with us and visit us. And if you want to give us some money, we'll take that.
And then also, we are open for English class.
So in general, so the St. Joseph's, that's all we are about. So thank you very much.